to start out this morning saying thank you as well for your hard work on Wednesday evening. It was pretty neat to see all that work done, all those clothes hanging, and then all of them hanging in the thrift store. Suddenly we went from an open space to a full space, and it was pretty neat. And this morning as I drove in, I read the sign, and it has Psalm 126, verse 3 on the sign out here in front, and it says, "The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad." And God truly has done great things, and we are thankful for that this morning. This morning, we will be turning to Genesis chapter 1 for a scripture this morning that I'm going to be reading. A couple of weeks ago, I read Genesis 1, and again was just impressed about the absolute power of God and the fact that He merely speaks and things were created. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to go ahead and read that scripture. It says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God said, 'Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters.' And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, 'Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth.' And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and the trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, all each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth.' And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from darkness. God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, 'Let the waters swarm with the swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of heavens.' So God created the great sea and the creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply in the earth.' And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, 'Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the field, earth, according to their kinds.' And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with its seed and its fruit. Ye shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." As I read this, I was just impressed again how when God speaks, everything stands attention to what God says. Impressed at the absolute power of God. And then as I went back and was looking at it again, how God doesn't just do things haphazardly, the order that God has. The first thing that God spoke to was darkness. As I read that, I read again this morning when I woke up, and I wonder how it was before God separated the darkness from the light. But God created time. He created in a weekly cycle. God created the lights in the heavens to mark signs and seasons, days and years. In the end of verse 5, he implied by following, there is a nighttime, which is the worker's daily rest, preparing the worker for a new day. And if you look at after each day, it says there was morning and there was night. He separated each day with a period of rest. On day 4, God further distinguishes the night by specific lights and specific day and night time. As I look at God and how He created the universe, how He created the world, how many times have you started a project and about halfway through the project you say, well, if I would have done step 3 before step 2, it would have turned out a little better. God didn't make that mistake. God made it perfect. If you look at the order that God created, He created the light, He created land, and then He put the creatures, He put the plants in the right order. God doesn't make a mistake. What God does is perfect. And then everything God looked at, and He said, it is very good. What God created was right and was good. Everything responded to the voice of God. Darkness, light, earth, water, plants, and animals. There wasn't anything that God created, anything that God spoke to that didn't respond to His voice. This is the same God that we serve today. Nothing is too big or too hard for God. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, Ah, Lord God, it is You who have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and by Your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You. In Genesis 17:1-2, when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before Me and be blameless, that I may make My covenant between Me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Nebuchadnezzar had great power. He was a great man. And yet, listen to what he says in Daniel 4:35. At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and He does according to His will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can say to His hand or say to Him, What have You done? Revelation 19:6 says, And I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of many peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God Almighty reigns. There was a quote that I read that said, if you want good things to happen, make sure God is present. God is good. It was our sin that brought bad and evil. I was going to start out with a question, and I missed the question that I was going to start out with. The question was, what or how much do you believe God can do? I had two questions today. That was the first one. Seeing God is all-powerful and has everything in His control, the second question is, to what extent will you follow or trust God? Or at what point do I begin to doubt? Genesis 22, we see Abraham and Isaac. God asked Abraham to take Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. He waited 90 years for this promise, and now he was to offer him as a sacrifice. Would you have been able to do that? Would you have begun to question God? Say, something's got to be wrong. It doesn't say. I'm sure it says Abraham rose up the next morning. I'm sure he didn't sleep, just like we wouldn't have slept. I'm sure he was awake that night, but it says he rose up the next morning and he took Isaac and he loaded him with wood and they headed for the sacrifice. And this was his answer to Isaac when Isaac said, "Where's the lamb?" Abraham said in Genesis 22, verse 8, "God will provide for himself the lamb, my son." Abraham didn't doubt. Abraham trusted God and listened to God in obedience. In Hebrews 11, 17 and 19, this says this about Abraham. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it is said, "Through Isaac your offspring shall be named." He believed God to the point that regardless, even if he did offer up his son, he believed that God could raise him again. Sometimes we go through things that don't make sense. Maybe there's not an answer. We need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. This morning, as we talked about Gideon in Sunday school, he questioned God. He questioned the angel, and he said, "All these things have been happening, so how are we going to overcome the Midianites?" If we look at Job had questions when he lost everything. When his friends were there, Job had questions. He had three questions. And then we see God showing himself to Job. And God didn't necessarily answer Job's questions. Indirectly, he did. But it said God answered him out of the voice of a whirlwind. The whirlwind, a force beyond human understanding and control. Job had felt abandoned by God, left to suffer alone. But when God answered him out of the whirlwind, it was apparent God had heard every question, everything that had been said from Job and his friends. God had heard it. God was there. He cares about the questions, but we must never forget there are some things we will never understand, questions that will not be answered to our satisfaction in this world. God is sovereign. We are not God. God planned and created the world with marvels and tragedy. Sunlight is essential to life, and yet it can cause skin cancer and scorch the ground. Crops cannot grow without rain, but rain can also cause flooding and death. Looking at the enormity of creation and eternity, we cannot begin to process the knowledge and power of God. Last week I was traveling, as I was driving back from Nebraska, and I was flipping through stations, just something to do. It's like trying to find something to listen to. And I don't know who it was, and I don't remember anything else he said. But there was one statement that I heard as it landed on the station for a little bit. It was a preacher, and he said, "We are not responsible for the outcome and the things that God asks us to do. We are responsible for obedience." Trusting God, seeking Him, God controls the outcome. God works in so many different ways. We look at the children of Israel when they came to the Red Sea. They were responsible to move. Moses responsible to hold up his rod. And God divided the waters. Again, when they were ready to cross into the promised land, The Jordan River was in their way. Again, as the priest stepped into the waters parted. All of creation responds to the hand of God. We don't always understand why God works the way he does. When the children of Israel went to march around Jericho, we just studied about that here a few weeks ago, and everyone, children, families, everyone marched around the city. They had a huge amount of people. Yet in Joshua 6, God takes Gideon's army and he shrinks it and he shrinks it and he shrinks it down to 300 men to go out against 135,000 men. Then we look at Joseph, sold into Egypt by his brothers, accused for wrong that he hadn't done, sat in prison for years. Or then we have Daniel and the young men carried captive. They were violated and made slaves. Multiple times they stood at death's door, yet they stood for what they knew was right, obedience. And then even Daniel, it wasn't something that was just, sometimes we look at the story and we hear the story, but it was something that they faced pretty much throughout life. If we look at Daniel again, when he was almost 80 years old, and then he was cast into the den of lions. In John 16, verse 32 and 33, Jesus said these words, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." We know that Jesus faced tribulation. They all forsook him, and yet he said his Father was with him. Same for each one of us. We can be going through hard times, yet God is with us. We look at David. He was anointed to be the next king. His life wasn't exactly what he expected either, I don't believe. After he was anointed for 10 years, roughly around 10 years, he spent running, hiding in caves, running for his life. But we can learn from David and others that our destiny is not determined by difficult times. Our destiny is determined by God. Though our circumstances change, our destiny does not. In difficult times, we simply need to remember God. David embraced the hard times because he believed his future was in a God that loved him. We also need to believe that our future is in the hands of God that loves us. We don't have answers why or for what purpose everything happens the way it does. What we do have is those who trusted and obeyed God, seeking his way, God was faithful. Remember, everything God ever created or ever did was good. He still says the same today about what he does on the day he did on the day he created the world. It is good. In closing, I want to turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. So today, as I looked into the just God's omnipotence, and then into how God is with us in everything that we face, whether we understand it or whether we don't, God is our creator. God is our strength. And may we trust him this week as we go, whether you have an easy week or whether you have a hard week. May we trust God, knowing that he is good and that we can trust him. And even if we don't understand what is happening, God understands. He sees it all. And everything that God does is good. So, Brian, do you have a... No, Scott, I'm sorry.
75.
All right, 75 and the faith and praise. And you can stand. All right, let's pray. God, today we thank you for your love. Thank you for your creation, your word, and as we look into your word and see you created everything and you made it good. And God, we're thankful today that we can trust you. We can look to you for guidance in our life. And even when we don't understand, as Job didn't understand what was happening, you do. And your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts higher than our thoughts. And Father, we just want to trust you. This week, I pray that you would just help us to trust you and to look to you in obedience and follow you. And we look for what you have in our life and where you're going to take us. May you bless each one here today and bless each one as they go from here. Thank you again for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.